If you're driving right now, please watch your speed.
That's it. Ah, love that. It's like Joe, very Joe Satriani.
Yeah.
Kind of feel. Oh, that is awesome. Beautiful riff. And the doubling with the guitar and the drums, that you know, the snare there.
Yeah.
At the end of the, toward the end of the head. That's awesome.
And they leave it, they're leaving room, the rest of the band is leaving room for the guitar to sing. Like, it's taking the lead there.
Oh, definitely. Oh, this definitely sounds, you know, like that Joe Satriani kind of feel, you know, like Surfing with the Alien, that era.
Yeah.
Of Satriani. Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, my friends, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and today is a Beacon of Truth playlist episode, and we're looking at Time, that great song by the Alan Parsons Project. Would love for you to be part of the program today as we break open this song and look at it from the perspective of our faith. Send us an email today, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com.
Want to remind you, Catholic Connections gives you all that you need so that each and every Monday through Friday, you get at 9 on EWTN Radio, where Teresa Tomeo gives you the Catholic perspective on the day's news, and she definitely loves to look at it through a lens that is very unique. Teresa Tomeo, each and every weekday morning, 9 Eastern, Catholic Connection on EWTN Radio.
Yeah, she's also a fantastic person as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So Time, do you remember this song?
Sure.
When you were, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just love this song. And there's other great songs, by this band as well. And on that album, Where Time Is. And, I know what this about this song that, that makes me feel just like it just, I just get swept away into this song. And part of it is the lyrics, which we're going to go over today, but also the music as well, you know, especially the verse, chorus. I love that. And again, I'm a sucker for strings, so I love the way the interplay of the strings in there as well. Just a awesome song. And again, to me, this is kind of like I think David, if he were alive today, would really like this song as well.
Sure.
Because it starts off, you know, talking about the analogy of a river, right? So as we talked about, David likes to use analogies from nature when he's expressing connections with God and our connections with the world. And so this song starts out, time flowing like a river, you know, and again, love that analogy. And when you look at a river, it's you're standing there on the edge of the shore, and you're watching the river go by, and it's like time, right? Or if you're in the river, you know, you start off at one place and you let the river just carry you,
mm-hmm.
and then before you realize it, you're at a completely different destination.
Yeah,
you know, so, and that's how time works. You know, either you're standing on the river, you're watching it go by, and it looks like it's the same, but it's never the same, right? So either perspective, you're standing on the shore watching the river go by, or if you're on the river itself, I think time plays has two different perspectives depending on where you are within that realm of time. We talked about being swept away, like time sweeps us away, you know, and I think this is a great way to start off this song.
Well, and the song is very reflective just in tone. Like before the lyric even begins, it sets that almost, you know, lazy river kind of feel in a Floyd, you know, Pink Floyd-ish kind of way, you know, if you needed a comparison. But again, that's what I love about songwriters is they're reflecting on either their own pain, their own presence, or the reality of something that has gone, which in this case, he's reflecting on the limitless of time, but in the present moment and in the future and the past, like it's all in sections and you can't get it back, but you still got plenty of it, right? You know? And so I love how just even musically, it sets you into a meditative state.
Yes, it most certainly does. And I think maybe that's what attracted me to this song when I first heard it. That beautiful combination of the music that draws you in, and then the lyrics which connect you. It just makes that definite connection with when you look at your own life and how we use time, right? And so it continues, time beckoning me, right? Time is calling us, right? And God, who exists outside of time, you know, we live in the linear space of time. You know, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. But God exists outside of time. To him, there is no beginning and there is no end. Everything is one with God. Everything is now, with the eternal now. Everything is present to God all at once. You know, but yet that God who exists out of time places us within time, right, within this linear framework of birth, existence, and then death. But during that time, he calls us, right? He invites us to share life with him so that during this brief span of time, I don't care if you live to be 100 years old, that's nothing in the span of time. 100 years is nothing. Yeah. You know, it's like the scripture says 1,000 years are like a day to God. You know, so our lives are really just bam. It's almost over. You know, but if we look, and again, I'm at the stage now where I know I'm much closer to the end than to the beginning. Yeah. And so I'm finding that I'm valuing my time a lot more now, because there's people demanding time from me all the time. So I have to really limit, you know, my accessibility and limit my, because my time is extremely valuable and it's short, which is again, why all of us, me, you, Ace, why we work so hard, because, you know, I want to, whatever time that God has given me, I want to maximize that time for his glory. And it's interesting because sometimes it takes time to get to that point. You know, where you realize, okay, my life is not about me. My life is a gift. God created me to give myself away in others. And when I use my gifts and my talents and I give myself away in love, when I truly find myself in God, that time that that we're using is the time that God has given us to glorify him. And so I want to maximize that so I can use the gifts and the talents that God has given each and every one of us to their fullest extent.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
and even,
so I've been thinking a lot about time.
And even think about it like this, like we're all called for a purpose, right? And God has intended for us to fulfill that. But if we chose to say no to him, he's just going to find someone else to fulfill what he's going to accomplish. So that within itself is like, I don't want to miss out on the opportunity for how he wants to use me, whether that's in my family or in ministry or in music or whatever it is. Some of the things are for play. Some of the things are for work, right? But I love, and you might have even heard this, and I don't know if it's necessarily his quote, but it is where I heard it, so I'm going to give him credit. But Denzel Washington has an interview thread that the way he breaks up his reflection of life is that in the beginning, you learn. So when you're in your 20s, that's your learning time. When you're in your 30s and 40s, you earn. So you're making a living, you're providing for your family. And then as you get 50 and beyond, you return. So you're giving back to the next generation. You're making sure that your adult children now, you know, have what they need because you're there as, you know, the sensei, so to speak, you know, or just a guiding voice. And I love breaking it in those terms because in those moments, I can reflect back and know, yes, I was in the earn and, you know, learn phases of my life. But then also as a returner, I still don't ever want to stop learning. You know what I mean? Like it's not about earning the paycheck. It's about earning the status of, okay, God has placed me here for the purpose, right? So it goes back to what is my purpose? Am I just saying yes to it? Or am I saying yes, but, or yes, if? Like no commas there, just yes, and then watch him work, because then you end up with blessings you didn't even know you needed.
Yeah, that's great insight. It really is. The interesting thing is, some of us, you know, it's not the same for everyone, right? So
Sure.
some people's experience, that learning may extend into their 40s, right?
Right.
I mean, because, yeah, you're right, they're learning, but they're also learning about the Lord and their relationship with Him and the import that God has in your life. Sometimes it takes longer. But my dad didn't come to faith till he was 74 years old.
Right.
So in a sense, he was still learning. And they overlap. So
Sure.
as you're learning and growing, you're still earning, right? And when you finally find the right rhythm, then you get to a point where you start giving, returning, and so yeah. So it's again, it's like that river. Sometimes it's rapids. Sometimes it's just like slow flowing, but it all is one, right? All that is contained within that one river. And the lyrics continue. Who knows when we shall meet again, if ever? So I love that. Again, we've talked about this before, about not living a life of regrets. It says we're going through this river. We're going to meet people. People may journey with us down the river for a while, and then they get off the river, or we may be standing on the shore and we see someone floating down the river. To take those opportunities that when God has placed someone in our life, whether that's a family member, a really good friend, co-workers, whatever it is, to not miss the opportunity to see God within that person. Because again, life is fleeting. Not too long ago, we lost one of the stalwart members of our parish. And this was interesting. So I'm standing in the sacristy with Father before Mass, and we're talking about this gentleman, because when the call came in, that he was sick and he was close to death, the call came to me, and his daughter was requesting anointing of the sick, which I can't do as a deacon. So I called the pastor, I called Father Paulinus, and he said, okay, I will go over and anoint him. And so we were talking about that, and when we got to the back of the church, this guy's brother told us that he died overnight. So right before Mass started, we realized that this guy, I mean, and he's every week he's there. I mean, for me, it's going to be strange looking out into the congregation and not seeing him there. It's like weird, like, wait a minute, something's off here because Joe's not here anymore. And it's like that with people in our lives too. We cannot miss that opportunity to relish that person, to honor that person, to recognize, even to witness to them the power of God's love, because it's like a river. Once it's gone, you never get it back again.
Well, and this part hits hard for me because I lost three of my broadcast companions last year, all to cancer, and all of them are younger than I am. So you want to talk about a wake-up call and that moment of, man, I should have reached out to them when they were sick, or I should have, spent some more time with them when I was in town, all of those things, because you can't get it back. I mean, yes, you'll see them again, but who knows when our time is, right? And so until then, we miss them. We miss, and maybe even regrettably, I know for myself, I can't speak for everyone, but I think reflectively, we're all this way. We wish we had done better. It's that's if you wonder if you're growing at all, you talk about like your father who was later in life in his faith, and I'm sure he would even say, I wish I had known God sooner. I wish I had known what he
Yep,
wanted for
he
my
did
life
say that.
sooner, because we're all there, right? We once you represent who God is to others around you, you want to represent him well. But then you also, in doing that, you're sharing stories of times that you didn't even know him and you were just flailing around like a fish out of water. And so that's the part that hits me when I think about time. And it's like, am I using my time to the best of how God wants me to? And that's usually, Lord, thank you for this day. Help me to use this time the way you need me to. Because whether that's in time for others, or is that downtime so that I can be fresh for when things are a little busy or things are in more demand.
Yeah, exactly right. And why? Because that last one, but time keeps flowing like a river to the sea, because we're heading somewhere,
Yeah.
Right? The river's just not flowing for the sake of flowing. It's flowing somewhere. It's heading somewhere. It's pouring out into something.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but typical rivers make their way to the sea, right? And they empty themselves out into the sea. So, you know, we live this river of our life, and so at the end of our life, we empty ourselves out into the ocean of God's mercy, of God's love. You know, our lives are flowing toward our eternal source of joy and peace and happiness, which is heaven. You know, and so, yeah, we're all works in progress. You know, but the one thing that is inevitable, that river is going to end one day. And so you're absolutely right. Great insights, Ace, that, you know, we have to use this time well, you know. And I used to always be wondering why, like, Hollywood actors and stuff have their private jets. Oh, come on. You know, you're so spoiled. But then I realized, you know, some of them who aren't arrogant or conceited, it's a time thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, the acting window, whatever window is pretty, it could be short for some people, you know, and so they want to maximize their time. And so flying on a jet, their private jet, rather than having to go through airports and go through this and all of this. And I mean, that's a time thing,
yeah.
You know, and I'm totally understanding that now. And wanting to use my time again to honor God, but also to honor my family, my commitments as well. And it gets into the next, goodbye, my love, maybe forever. Goodbye, my love, the tide waits for me. You know, wow. Wow. So the first verse, he's talking about the river, time is flowing. Then he says, goodbye, my love, almost if the river's going to take him, and he'll never, like he said, he alludes to in the previous verse, who knows when we shall meet again. It's almost now he's come to the resolution. He's saying goodbye. Yeah. He goes, I know we're not going to see each other again. Maybe he's realizing the river is getting to the end of his life now. You know, for us as followers of Christ, okay, we're flowing, and we know that this is going to come to an end. And so we turn, maybe we're floating down the river, we turn back, and we look back at the people that we've loved. We've looked back at the life that we've lived, and we say goodbye. You know, the tide waits for me because there's something at the end of my life waiting for me. Who's that? That's Christ waiting for us at the end of our life. It's just awesome to think of our lives as flowing toward this ultimate purpose, this ultimate meaning.
Yeah, well, and I know that as we think about it in river terms, or in this case, you know, as we think about the tide, I mean, how many times have we gone into the ocean and, like, if you're on a float or if you're just playing with your friends or what, you know, just out with the kids, and the tide takes you like too far to the left or too far to the right, and you look back and you realize how far from shore you are, or you went out further than you expected or thought that it could even, right? We underestimate the power of the tide. And so I love from the perspective of that image of being aware of that, you know, the tide waits for me to take me and wherever I'm supposed to go, right? I mean, how much do we truly let go and let God? You know, it's not just a little metaphorical phrase that, you know, can be a fun little 3-point sermon, but really, I want to let go of the things that I'm holding on so tight that, you know, my knuckles, you know, are pink and red because I'm holding on to things that don't need my time and attention or that are done or the wrong things for me even, because I need to be leaving looseness in there for God to go, okay, now this is gone and this is now your priority.
Yeah, I love that. Great insights there, Ace, because he talks about, you know, you said that the tide waits for me to take us to where we need to go, right? And where is it taking us? He says the keeps flowing like a river on and on to the sea. So yeah, you're talking about a riptide. We have those in Oregon, on the Oregon coast. That's why whenever you go to the coast in Oregon, they don't call it the beach because it's really not a beach. You don't see people lying out, and I mean, it's too cold. The water is too cold.
Yeah.
And the beach is not like that crisp, that kind of soft sandy beach. It's always kind of hard. There's always logs. There's always things on the beach there. So it's not that kind of, it's more like a rugged coastline kind of thing. But you have rip tides. That's why you don't see a lot of people in the water ever, even during the summertime, because those rip tides can carry you out into the ocean. And you turn around, you're much farther than when you thought we should be. That's not good. And you should avoid those rip tides. They tell you all the time to avoid the rip tides. But we're not talking about, and those could be turbulent times in our lives along that movement of the river. But what I think we're talking about here is allowing the tide of life to carry us and not get caught in those rip tides, but moving us on to again to the sea. The time keeps flowing like a river till we get to its ultimate destination. Then it says the chorus, till it's gone forever. Gone forever, gone forevermore. Now it's interesting. So for us, the river of our life is over and we get to the sea, the implication, at least in my mind, the implication here is that the river is gone. There's no more river because now it becomes one with the sea. But the interesting thing is that when we get to the end of our life, we still are who we are. We become perfected in God's love. So we become the fullness of who we are, we're created to be in God when we get to the end of the river. It's not like Buddhism or other Eastern religions where it's called monism, where at the end of your life, there is no you. You become one with everything, become one with the universe. And so some of the practices of the Eastern religions, some of the ascetical practices are designed to what they call extinguish the self. So at the end of your life, there is no you. And that's kind of like the implication, like a river runs into the sea, and now the river is gone. It's just enveloped in the sea. It becomes one with everything. But unlike that kind of thinking, at the end of our life, when we flow into the sea of God's eternity, we still exist. In fact, we will exist. Not only would our souls continue to exist at the end of time, when Jesus comes back to claim his kingdom for the Father, we will get new bodies. It says in the book of Revelation, with new heaven and a new earth, we'll have glorified bodies. And so we will continue to exist, in a sense, to borrow from Matthew Kelly, right? To be the best version of ourselves, right? Because we'll be in the presence of God forever. Like I said, we're gone forever. Yeah, we're gone from this linear existence, but we're going to live in the presence of God forever. And I just love that idea.
Well, and but also too, this I don't think we can ever not think about this enough, especially in Lent season, of as God is transforming us in the here and now, that we feel like we have to give up. Why? I'm not ready to, come to God yet because there are things in that I like about me. Okay, but by him coming into you, he takes the things you like about you and he makes them better. And it enhances it, if anything, him coming in is for him to help smolder out all of the things that don't need to be there so that the things you do love about you can have more room to grow and be more confident in their expansion. But we feel like to be a Christian, I have to walk this way and talk this way. No, you have to just still be you. You're still your own thumbprint. Deacon Harold and I have similar interests and similar stories even of our background, but we're still two very individual thumbprints that are unique for God's purpose. And that's what I love about the melting pot of this world is that we're all different and we can embrace where we've come from and what we've done and live vicariously through each other, because that's not, what you've done, it's not a part of my journey. What I've done's not a part of yours. But we get to live together in that and see God working and bringing us together for what he's doing, which is community and encouragement and the betterment of our individual selves.
Yeah, it's like puzzle pieces.
Right.
I've got a piece of the puzzle. You're different shape. It goes
Right.
in a different part of the puzzle,
Yeah.
but when you put it all together, it's just one beautiful picture. And
Yeah.
we all work together. We all use the gifts. We all use the talents that we're given to glorify God. So it's one. It's like a string on a guitar, right? Each individual person is a string, but when it's only when that's all the strings are played in harmony, that the instrument now has purpose and has meaning, and it can express itself in its fullness because all the strings are together.
Amen.
And we're all part of that body, one body of Christ that St. Paul talks about.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Love these Beacon of Truth playlist episodes. Time by the Alan Parsons Project.
As we continue our musical journey, it also leads to a deeper spiritual journey. You can always check out more episodes of the Beacon of Truth playlist at EWTN.com/podcast or wherever you like to stream. You can also listen to Beacon of Truth live with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.